Let's pray and begin tonight. Lord, thank you so much for who you are, for all that you do, for just being so loving, Lord, and so gracious and merciful, and for just bestowing all these things upon us that we can be thankful for tonight, Lord, as we look at your word, Lord. I just pray that you would penetrate our hearts, that your spirit would fill this room, that we would leave here more and more in love with you, Lord. And we just give you this night. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you didn't know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Just making sure everyone's aware, right? I've been preparing for about a week. You know, you got to stretch out the stomach muscles. There's a lot of things you got to do to prep if you really want to get into it. You know, it's funny. I think Christmas always was my favorite holiday, especially as a kid. You know, Christmas is amazing. And I still love Christmas, but as far as traditions go, I kind of like Thanksgiving better now that I'm older. It's more about food. I don't care about presents anymore, right? I mean, I got enough junk. I don't need any more stuff, but a good turkey, yeah, it doesn't come over. It doesn't happen that often, so I really like Thanksgiving. It's just a great holiday, and it actually, you know, it has a great story behind it, too. I mean, Christmas, I love more because it's about our Lord and Savior, His birth, and that's an amazing thing, and I just love that whole narrative and being able to talk about it and being able to share it with people. But Thanksgiving actually has kind of a neat backstory as well. It was actually signed into law, or not to law, into a national holiday in 1863. A little lady named Sarah Hale, a little 74-year-old magazine editor, had been writing and wrote President Abe Lincoln and urged him to sign this holiday into law. Until then, there was different states who did it, different days, and they had different traditions, mostly in New England. But she had been petitioning for 15 years, and no other presidents had heeded any of the letters she sent. And then finally, Abraham Lincoln signed it into a holiday in 1863. And many historians say there was two reasons for that Abraham Lincoln decided to make it a holiday. One was that the country was in the middle of a civil war. So they were going through a time of being divided. It was very painful. There was a lot of crisis going on. And he saw the wisdom in crying out and giving thanks to the Lord, even in tough times. He saw that was so important to be able to thank the Lord, even as it seems perilous, to remember the truth behind God who provides for us. And then secondly, is he recently himself became a committed Christian. He was basically a new Christian who was excited about the Lord and wanting to praise him and wanting to thank him. And this holiday was a perfect way to kind of nationally do that. And I think that's really cool that our country is really one of the only countries that has a holiday just for thanking God. That's really what it is. It's just a holiday to thank God. And it's as simple as that. And of course, family and food is included with that. But it's a great time. And it's really neat to be able to be a part of something that has that history to it. So tonight, we're going to look at a little bit about thankfulness, of course. Just makes sense, Thanksgiving Eve, to do a Thanksgiving message, and I don't want to disappoint you guys. So let's pray before we start. Lord, thank you so much again for your word as we dive in. Just bless this time that we have as we look and are thankful for all that you give us. In your name we pray. Amen. So turn with me to Psalm 144. Now, I didn't want to do, and I'm not going to go very long, so hopefully you're happy about that. I want us to all get home and, you know, get lots of rest for Thanksgiving tomorrow. Actually, do you guys know what tonight is? There's actually a holiday tonight, too. It's an unofficial holiday. Tonight is Mexgiving, okay? Mexgiving is where you go out for Mexican food so that you don't make your kitchen dirty the day before Thanksgiving, right? Mickey, the Ortizes, and us started this tradition a year ago where we are like, hey, we don't want to make our kitchens disgusting, so let's all go out for Mexican food, and so we dubbed it Mexgiving. So you guys are the first, you're in on the ground floor, okay, for Mexgiving. I'm giving it like 5 years, I'll write the president, and we make it an official holiday, okay? The next president, okay, yeah. So if you want to join us, we're going to go out after this for Mexgiving. So tonight, though, I didn't want to just, you know, I've heard a lot of great messages on being thankful, what to be thankful for, how to be thankful, what the word thankful means, but I didn't really want to do that. I really felt like the Lord was urging me to just kind of look at some praises of thanks and gleaning from what people did and what great men of the Bible did when they praised the Lord and how that created a heart of thanks. So tonight, that's kind of what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a thankful heart. And it starts in Psalm 144. Let's see if this is working. If you'll turn there with me, Psalm 144, and I'm going to read it, the whole thing. I need some water first. Oh, I left my water down there. Hold on. Thank you. Thank you. I'm thankful for her, for sure. Read with me Psalm 144. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shout out with your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above and rescue me from the and deliver me out of great waters. From the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words and those whose right hand is the hand of falsehood. And our sons may be as plants grown in their youth, and our daughters may be as pillars sculpted in the palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, and that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, and that there may be no breaking or going out, and that there may be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is Lord." So Psalm 144 is a song of praise and, you know, thankfulness from King David. And if there's anyone that we can look to see a thankful heart, David is definitely one of the top ones that we see in the Bible, who just had a thankful heart for who God was and what he did and how powerful and amazing he was in every way. And I just love this psalm. I've always loved this psalm. In fact, I taught it not too long ago at a youth retreat, but from a totally different angle, which was very interesting. They work together, but it's such a deep section and such a deep song. It has so much in it that I was just excited to be able to share it with you guys tonight. And I see five things here that I really think that David shows us that produce this thankful heart. So, like I said, we're not going to go into what thankfulness is, but what causes us to be more thankful. Because I think all of us as Christians, if you're a believer tonight, you have a thankful heart for the Lord, but we can always be a little bit more thankful, I think. I know I can always go deeper in my thanks, and sometimes I forget to give the Lord his proper thanks. And so I want to see, and I want us to look at what things help us draw closer and more thankful, to be more thankful with the Lord. The first one I see is this rock. He says, "You are my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock." And I think the first thing that really draws us to be thankful towards the Lord is to have that foundation in him. So the first thing is just that foundation. And without that foundation, without that first layer, we really don't have anything to build on. And that's what a foundation is, right? We build on a foundation. Have you ever stood on something shaky or something unstable? One of those rope bridges, those three-way rope bridges. Amanda will not go on one of those. They're just shaky, you know. And they're kind of, that's kind of the fun of it, or one of those trapeze. When I was in high school, I worked at a summer camp, and they had this ropes course called, and one of the attractions was called the Leap of Faith, and it was just a big, huge telephone pole that you climbed, and you had to stand on this little telephone pole 2 feet, and you had to jump to catch a trapeze. And when you're standing on that thing, it's nothing but unstable. You're swaying with the wind, and you want nothing but to get off that thing and to get back on solid ground. And You know, a lot of times in life, we feel that way, like we're unstable, we feel weak, the world comes at us, and we feel like, you know, we don't know what to do, we kind of feel lost. Even as believers, you know, we often get this feeling, and it's good to be reminded of who is our rock, right? Where's our foundation? Where do we put our feet, and where do we stand firm? You know, Peter learned this quickly as he started to sink, walking to the Lord. He took his eyes off of him, and put his eyes on himself and his own situation, and instantly started to sink as he walked on water. And I feel like sometimes, many times, I find myself in that place where, like David here, I have to remind myself, who is my foundation? Who is my rock and my shield? And David's reminding himself that, as well as us, that he is the rock. He's our trainer. He's our general. He trains our fingers for battle. That's pretty intense. And we may think, oh, that just applies to David's time when they fought a lot with swords and all that stuff, but that applies to us spiritually. Every day we fight a battle, and that he's our fortress. A fortress is a place we go to seek safety, a refuge, a tower. He's the deliverer. He not only is a fortress, but he pulls us out of danger. He's a shield. He blocks us from danger, and he's a refuge. He keeps us safe, and he's also a conqueror. He subdues the people under him, that David says. He's a conqueror. He conquers the spiritual enemies and the things of this world that we have. But only when we have that foundation first. And I love looking at these attributes of God, especially when I'm feeling overwhelmed. This is what we should remind ourselves. When we're feeling overwhelmed, like we just don't know what to do, this is our foundation. We got to bring ourselves back to that rock. And actually, many historians I found out as I was studying for this say that this is probably one of the many psalms that they would use to train their armies. They would use psalms, and soldiers would repeat psalms that David wrote in the army of Israel to train themselves, because battle and victory in battle was very closely tied to the worship of God. You read that all throughout the Old Testament, that worshiping God brought victory in battle physically, but it also shows us that it applies to us spiritually, because we are in a spiritual war, and we fight it day by day, and we have to have that foundation. And basically, when we look at all these things, that he's a fortress, that he's our tower, he's our shield, it shows that God, you know, that kind of the idea I kept coming back to is God is never shaky. He's never unstable. He's solid. There's nothing that he will never waver. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no wavering with God. We waver all the time. I fall down constantly, but I always know that he's solid. I may question things. I may get confused. I may even get mad at him at times, but he's solid. He's never going to move. And that definitely brings my heart to a place of thanks, knowing that God is the same always. He's not dependent on me and what I do or don't do. So that's the first thing. Knowing that our foundation is built on a life with Christ, it brings a content, peaceful, and thankful heart. The second thing that brings, this is probably one of the harder ones, is acknowledging what man is, who we are. Verse 3 says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, and his days are like a passing shadow. Knowing who we are, actually, and having the proper perspective of who we are, being humble about who we are, truly brings us to a place of thanks, because when we see that, who we are, we realize how great God is, that he still cares for us. You ever stop and just think about the fact that the God that created the entire universe and created life itself, who flung the planets into space, who caused everything to be that is, that he thinks about us. He thinks about us individually. I'm one of a billion people that have lived on Earth, and a tiny speck in a giant universe that he created, and yet he knows my name. He thinks about me. Not only does he think about me, he loves me, and he cares for me so much that he went to the cross to die. I mean, sometimes we just can't even get our heads around that, and I think we take it for granted. Wow, the God who created all cares about each one of us individually. He's mindful of us. His mind is full of us. He's always thinking about us. Everything he's done, everything in this word, in this book, was done for you and I. It wasn't for his benefit. You know, he didn't wander around the desert because it was fun. He did it for us to show. He didn't bring Jesus to earth because it would be a fun thing to show off and be, you know. He did it for us. Everything in this book, it's a pretty big book, and then some, was for our sake. Who are we that God is mindful of us? We're nothing. We're like a shadow. We're like a breath. I mean, compared to history, compared to eternity, and compared to all of creation, I mean, you blink and we're kind of, as far as our physical existence on earth, we just pass through. We're just a blip on the radar. It's a crazy truth to kind of ponder, and it definitely, our thankfulness should increase when we realize how much God loves us and how much we don't deserve it, right? What are we? We're sinners, we're weak, we're flawed, we complain all the time, we don't understand what's going on most of the time. Kind of reminds me of a two-year-old. I feel like that sometimes. I feel like spiritually we're toddlers, we don't understand, and yet God cares for us more than a parent could ever care for a child. And that's amazing to me. We only occupy a brief moment in history. It's like a shadow going away in this physical place, but yet he's mindful of us, even to the point of death. This will always provide a thankful heart. When we think about those things, that will definitely bring us to a place of just all we can do is thank him. Lord, thank you for caring for me. I mean, you're the God of the universe. How did I deserve to be cared about and thanked and to be loved by him? The third thing is his power. Verse 5, it says, "Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above and rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words and whose right hand is the hand of falsehood." Here David's imploring God and talking to God and explaining that, look, I know that you have all the power. And knowing that he has the power to rescue us, right, that brings a thankful heart. How many guys would be excited if you were drowning and someone rescued you? Would you be thankful? Absolutely. If you were about to get, you know, hit by a car across the street and someone tackled you out of the way, absolutely. Oh my gosh, I owe you my life. I'm so thankful. Well, that's exactly, if not even greater, of course, what God did. And because of his power. I call this the strongest dad principle, because when you were a kid, did you ever argue with your friends about your dad being the strongest? So boys do this, I think, more than girls. I don't know, maybe some girls do. But when you're a kid, you're always, no, my dad's stronger. No, you don't understand. My dad can lift me off the ground. Oh, yeah, well, my dad can lift me and my sister off the ground. Oh, yeah, well, my dad built this and my dad did that. And we, you know, kids do that. And I think when we look at this spiritually, we can honestly say we have the strongest dad. Nobody's stronger than our dad. Nobody's stronger than our Holy Father. No one has more power. No one has more might. No one has more, I mean, he speaks and it happens. He can bow down the heavens and the mountains will smoke. I don't know what that looks like, but that sounds pretty intense. He is powerful. He is strong. And the crazy thing is, he uses that power with such things like this. He uses that power on our behalf. God is all powerful, and his power is displayed on our behalf. When this is all through the Bible. If you read through the Bible, you see it over and over again. God's power displayed for his people. It's an amazing thing. So we definitely have the strongest dad. And knowing that we have the strongest dad, that he destroys lies, that he destroys the enemies of false, whose right hand is falsehood. You know, people will be against us. It's just the way it's going to go, especially if as a Christians, we should expect that. But we know that God's power will ultimately prevail in every situation. And that's just the truth of how powerful and amazing he is. And when we see that, when we see that he is the source of all power, I'm truly thankful that he uses it for me, that he has that power, and that he chooses to save me and rescue me through it. We have the strongest dad. The fourth thing I see is that David is thankful because he's thankful. It's kind of an obvious thing. Being thankful makes you more thankful. And we see that in here in verse 9, that he praises and that his praise causes more thankfulness. It says, I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praise to you, the one who gives salvation to kings and who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. His praise brings a more thankful heart. It seems obvious that, hey, if you want to be really thankful, be really thankful. Or if you want to praise someone, praise someone. It's kind of this weird thing. But what David is showing us here is that he's being purposeful. He's saying, I will, that's the first two words, I will sing a new song. I'm going to purpose in my heart to praise you because you're so great. I will sing to you. I know that you're the one that brings salvation. He sets his mind to this task. I think this is something that's so, it's for me, it's so obvious and it's so easy, yet I miss it half the time. You know, there would be times in my life where I'm thinking, oh, I feel kind of spiritually low or drained, and I just don't feel that, you know, energy I used to have for God. And sometimes I'm reminded and I stop and I think, well, why? Have I been praising him? Well, maybe I just praise him the way I always do, you know, and come in, sing three songs, sit up, sit down, you know, say hi, and, you know, we do the same routines, which are all good things. But sometimes I think as humans, especially, we have a habit of falling into those routines, right? We kind of praise can start to lose its luster if we don't refresh it. And he's saying, I will sing to you a new song. It doesn't mean that every time you praise the Lord, you have to come up with a new song. That would drive the worship team crazy if they had to come up with a new song every Sunday. But the idea here is making it fresh, making it new, right? It's you're singing to the Lord in a fresh way. You're not just going through the motions of praise and worship because it's what you've always done. You're singing it and you're thinking about what he's done that week, what he's done that day. And it's a fresh praise to the Lord. It's really a vow. He's vowing here, I think. David's saying, I promise I'm going to respond and worship you with a renewed heart, no matter my situation. You know, David went through some crazy stuff, and he didn't always do the best job, but he always praised the Lord. That's something you can count on from David. He always praised the Lord, and he would sing a new song. He would sing a fresh song. In fact, he's the reason we have so many worship songs, right? He wrote so many great worship songs in these Psalms that we read because he was refreshed every day in praising the Lord, and we have to do that. We can't get stuck in the same patterns of thankfulness and just, oh yeah, I thank the Lord because he's great, and then sing the same thing. I think we gotta refresh ourselves. Kind of like, I think of it like the dawn of a new day. Every day the sun rises, right? And it's a fresh day. Every day we have a chance to start over in a way, or to start a new day, and to do a new, we gotta be the same way with the Lord. Every praise, every worship should be a new thing to him, to where we're saying, thank you again, and here's even more that I want you to do. Such a great thing that we can praise him that way. And that will definitely keep our hearts thankful. As we praise him, it will only increase the thankfulness as we focus on him. And see, anytime we focus on ourselves, we become depressed or lower. Or we become less thankful. We become bitter or grudge. You know, we have a grudge about something or whatever it is. But the minute we take that focus and we put it on him, it's thankfulness is the only thing that really comes out. So definitely vowing to praise him. And it's something that we got to be mindful of. We can't just fall into praise and worship. We have to purposely do it. And it's a great thing because it really does refresh our thankfulness for the Lord. The fifth thing, the last thing I see, is the seeking of the Lord. Verse 11. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown in their youth and our daughters may be as pillars sculpted in the palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, and that our oxen may be well laden, and that there may be no breaking in or going out, and there may be no outcry in our streets. This is kind of a call of continual deliverance. It's a request for blessing. David's requesting to be blessed from the Lord. He's not waiting. I love it. He doesn't wait. David doesn't wait until something happens to be like, oh, thank you, God. That was so cool. Not that he wouldn't do that, and you would still do that, but he doesn't wait for that. He praises God and thanks God before blessings even come in anticipation for what God wants to do, that he wants to bless us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to make our children strong like plants growing in a field and daughters like pillars that are sculpted. He wants to bless our families and our friends and everything that we do. He wants to be in and about everything that we touch. And so David's praising him and thanking God before it's even happening. I love that. And I think I myself need to take more note of that and to be thankful regardless of if I feel like it's going the way I like. David doesn't base any of this off of his feelings of if it's going good or bad. He bases it off knowing who God is and thanking him ahead of time for the blessings. It's seeking God's favor. It's calling on him to deliver. It's humbly saying, I can't do it. I can't deliver myself from lying words and from falsehood. You have to do this for me. Lord, I praise you and thank you for doing it. It's a true trust and a faith in him when we do that, when we ask for blessings. It's one of those crazy things where it's actually kind of hard, I think. Now, we're not talking about worldly riches. You know, this isn't prosperity doctrine in any way. But it's a request for God's blessings. Not our own blessings, not what we think we should be blessed with, but what God wants to bless us with. You know, I think most of the time, I know for myself, I either fall into I don't ask for any blessings because I don't think I deserve it. I think a lot of us fall into that. We really don't feel like we deserve to be blessed by God. You know, there's a lot of reasons. We feel guilty. We feel, you know, like we're inadequate or whatever it is. And we don't feel like God should bless us. And so we don't ask. And then there's, of course, the other side of the spectrum where we ask for everything under the sun that we don't need because we ask amiss. And we ask with the wrong motives. You know, James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. This is where we kind of go off a lot of times on one of these sides. I know for me, I fall into the I don't have because I don't ask camp more often where I just simply don't ask for his blessings. I don't want to bug God. You ever feel like that? Like, no, I don't want to, you know, but God's a busy guy. I'm sure he's got a full schedule, right? I don't want to bug him. I think that sometimes, and it's a human way of thinking about it, but it's not the way God works at all. You know, his schedule is never too full for us. He doesn't have a schedule. He's outside of time, so he doesn't have to worry about schedule. He wants to bless us. And it's not about material goods. It's about blessing the things we do and blessing our families and the important things. Sometimes it involves material. Sometimes it involves lots of sheep, apparently. Tens of thousands of sheep, which I'm good with sheep, but I like the idea of being able to bless me with the things I need to continue to follow him. You know, he's never going to hold back on what you need as you follow him. Wherever God guides you, he's going to provide for you. It's just the way it works, and he wants to do that. So we need to ask. We should be asking. And when we ask for those things and we ask to be blessed, we're going to be thankful as we see him blessing, as we see him answering those requests. All it's going to do is produce more thankfulness for the fact that he answers us. And we're going to actually see how he does this and how he works. And we get a glimpse into kind of how he leads us. And it's an amazing thing. So when we seek him, we should ask for blessings and ask for his provision and deliverance. Seeking him and relying on him for his blessings produces a thankful heart. And then the last verse, it ends in verse 15 with, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. I mean, that kind of sums it up right there. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Simply put, when we are happy and we are blessed, when God is first. When we're looking to him for everything. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, Jesus reiterates this idea. And the truth is, you know, I like how it says, whose God is the Lord. Now, God is God no matter what. Regardless of what I do, what you do, what anyone says or believes about God, he is still God. It's not dependent upon us. The question isn't, do you believe God or do you not believe God? The question is God your Lord? And the idea of Lord is the one who you look to for everything. Is he the most important thing? Is he your Lord? Is he your master? The idea is, because a lot of people, even the demons believe in God. But is God your Lord? Is he first in your life? Is he the Lord of your life? And I think David closes, I love how he closes with this, because he's saying that, look, I'm happy and I can be blessed. The word happy here can also be translated in many translations as blessed are the people, and blessed are the people whose God is Lord. And he's saying blessed and happy we will be when we, that sounded like Yoda, that was weird. Blessed and happy will his people will be blessed and happy when they do these things, when they realize that he is their rock, when they put him as their foundation, like we saw, when they acknowledge who man is and are humble about who we are, that we're weak, we're messed up, we can't do it on our own, we need him. When they seek him for his power, you're the one who delivers us. You're the one who has all the power. You're the strongest dad, right? When they praise him new every day, I'm going to sing a new song. I'm going to praise you. And when they seek him for blessings, Lord, bless me the way you want to bless me. He's saying, when you do these things, you're going to be blessed and happy. Because when you do those things, that means God is your Lord. Because you're putting him first as your foundation. You're putting him first as in your power. You're putting him first above yourself. You're putting him first in your praise. And you're putting him first in your seeking of blessings. And when we do that, this is a great psalm to kind of give us a guideline of these things that we can do. When God is Lord of our life, it produces that joy, that peace, that contentment. And it produces a thankful heart. Amen. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you that you want to bless us. Lord, I just thank you that that we can ask for blessings, that we can go to you, that we can seek you, that we can rely on your power, Lord, that we can build our life on your foundation, Lord, that you provide all of this for us. And tonight as we look at these things and think about these things, Lord, just help us to have a new, fresh perspective and thankfulness in our hearts for who you are and all that you do. In your name we pray.